Today, I'd like to welcome to the PodMD studio Dr. Xavi Fernando. Xavi is an Australian-trained obstetrician and gynaecologist. He did his undergraduate training at Monash University and subsequently a PhD. That research was in the area of infertility and was funded by an NHMRC research fellowship. Xavi is appointed to both the obstetric and gynaecology departments at Monash Health and is also a lecturer at Monash University. He has a clinical interest in high-risk caesarean sections and is involved in the training of the next generation of obstetricians and gynaecologists. Today we'll be discussing the topic of ectopic pregnancy. We do hope you enjoy this podcast, but please remember that the advice given here is of a general nature and is not intended as specific advice about any given patient. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the doctor, not PodMD. If you do have a patient on whom you require specific advice, then please seek that advice from a colleague with appropriate expertise in the area. Xavi, thanks for talking with us today on PodMD.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
The topic of today's discussion is ectopic pregnancy. Can you just remind us all the details of an ectopic pregnancy, the specific definition?
An ectopic pregnancy is any pregnancy that implants and develops outside the uterine cavity, commonly in the tubes, but also can be in the ovary, in the cervix, previous caesarean scar, even in the abdominal cavity, rarely.
Thanks, Xavi. And how does a patient with an ectopic pregnancy typically present?
So usually women who have an ectopic pregnancy might present with a period of amenorrhea with PV spotting, so bleeding, a little bit of bleeding coming from the vagina. And it often is also associated with lower abdominal pain. And that can be lateralizing. So that means either to the left or the right side. That's assuming, again, that it's a tubal ectopic pregnancy. If the ectopic has or is rupturing, she may also have signs of acute abdomen, so including shoulder tip pain, rebound, and cross tenderness, as well as cervical excitation. And generally speaking, if the ectopic has ruptured, often she'll be quite unstable or can be quite unwell as she bleeds into her abdomen.
Xavi, I was actually asked about an ectopic pregnancy in the operative surgery part of my fellowship examination, and in those days, the treatment was regarded as surgical, although methotrexate injections were being talked about in specialist centres. That was a while ago, of course. Can you tell us, have there been any new developments in the management of this problem?
There are actually three main options for treatment of an ectopic pregnancy. And I know that a lot of my colleagues, when I was going through medical school, we were always taught that a pregnancy is an ectopic pregnancy until proven otherwise. I think that's quite a good rule of thumb because it just keeps your index of suspicion high. However, not every ectopic pregnancy requires urgent management. I think that's important, and that doesn't really get drummed into us at medical school. However, every ectopic pregnancy does require vigilant management, but not necessarily urgent operative intervention. So you can manage an ectopic pregnancy with expectant management. However, this is usually reserved for those with a very low HCG, and the HCG level should already be falling. In these patients, they must be hemodynamically stable, and they have to have very little pain or tenderness. So there shouldn't be any signs of the ectopic already rupturing or having ruptured. If that's the case, you can't use expectant management. The patient also must have HCG monitoring until it's negative, as an ectopic can rupture at any positive HCG level. So even at a very low HCG level, say, for example, 10, where the lower limit of normal is over 5, it can still rupture. The second option for management is using medical management. For a tubal ectopic, this is with a single dose of methotrexate of 1 milligram per kilogram IM. And then the HCG is repeated on day 4 and day 7 after the injection to make sure that the HCG is declining. Often the HCG will rise from day 1 to day 4 and should fall by more than 15% between day 4 and day 7. Once a consistent fall has been confirmed, the HCG should be followed at least weekly until it's negative. There are several criteria that need to be satisfied in order to be able to use medical management. In some cases, specifically when the ectopic has a high risk of rupturing or has already ruptured, using medical management, just like with expectant management, is not appropriate. And in those patients, they do need the third option, which I'll get to in a second. So in order to be able to receive medical management for an ectopic pregnancy, a few criteria need to be satisfied. So this is that there should be no fetal heartbeat, the ectopic should be dead. The size of the ectopic should be less than 3 centimetres. There should be minimal free pelvic fluid, because that indicates blood in the pelvis. The HCG should be less than 5,000. The patient must be hemodynamically stable and willing and able to attend for regular follow-up. If they don't satisfy all of these criteria, then the patient requires surgical management. Now, for a tubal ectopic pregnancy in Victoria, this is usually via a laparoscopic salpingectomy, which is removal of the fallopian tube on that side, the affected fallopian tube. It is preferable to do it laparoscopically, with laparotomy reserved for significant instability or an inability to visualize pelvic contents due to the presence of excessive blood. Even in the case of a massive hemoperitoneum, you can often get away with doing a laparoscopy rather than a laparotomy, as long as it's managed fairly rapidly. Following salpingectomy, the presence of chorionic villi in the sample should be confirmed on histology as well. If it isn't, then the patient still requires ongoing HCG follow-up until it's negative. It's important to remember that when you remove the tube, that tube is already damaged. So for it to be able to have an ectopic, something has gone wrong with the tubal motility. And also, it's important to remember that removing one tube doesn't halve the patient's chance of getting pregnant in the next pregnancy, assuming that the other tube is normal.
So the management covers the full spectrum from expectant management observation right through to a true surgical emergency. It's not an uncommon condition. Are there any factors that might predispose women to ectopic pregnancies?
There are many risk factors for ectopic pregnancy. Because tubal ectopic pregnancies are the most common, I'll probably speak to that more. And in general, anything that will affect the motility of the tube and therefore the passage of the conceptus into the uterus can cause or increase the chance of an ectopic pregnancy. These are things such as hormonal contraception, so failed hormonal contraception, in particular progesterone contraceptives, because they work to reduce the motility of the cilia in the tubes, but also that includes failed morning after contraception, so emergency contraception. So if a patient has emergency contraception and it doesn't work and they get pregnant, it's more likely to be an ectopic pregnancy. In a similar way, a failed Mirena IUD, so again, with an IUD inside you, if they get pregnant, it's more likely to be an ectopic as well. Endometriosis or any other previous tubal surgery or tubal damage, chlamydia, gonorrhea, and smoking can also affect the motility of cilia. They're the commonest conditions that result in a higher risk of ectopic pregnancy. Of course, having a previous ectopic pregnancy is also a risk factor. The baseline risk of having an ectopic pregnancy is about 1.5 to 2%, and after having one ectopic, the chance of recurrence is about 5 to 10%. So that's important when you're counselling a patient about ectopic pregnancy. In the first instance, it's important to remember that most likely, if they've had an ectopic, they're still not going to have one again.
Okay, thanks. And what are the clinical features that should make us suspicious that a woman may have an ectopic pregnancy?
As mentioned earlier, Sean, ectopics should be considered in any women with a positive HCG with spotting or lateralizing abdominal pain, especially if an ultrasound after 6 weeks shows an empty uterus. A patient with a positive HCG who has an acute abdomen requires immediate transfer to hospital. So again, if she's clinically unstable, hemodynamically unwell, she should be transferred to hospital. If she presents with tachycardia or hypotension, this also mandates immediate transfer. Remember that a young, healthy woman will compensate quite well for blood loss until the amount of loss is quite high. So this is important because she might look reasonably well, but when you feel her abdomen, you know that it's an acute abdomen, which probably means she's already lost quite a lot of blood.
Shavi, thanks again for your time today in the PodMD studio. Just to sum things up for our listeners, could you please identify three key take-home messages from your podcast on ectopic pregnancy?
Ectopic pregnancies are very serious and can potentially cause maternal death. However, not every ectopic pregnancy requires urgent surgical management, but every ectopic pregnancy requires vigilant monitoring at the minimum. There are several options for treatment for ectopic pregnancies. You can use medical treatment, expectant management, or surgical management. And the prognosis is quite good following treatment, and women should be informed that they're not half as likely to get pregnant if they're missing one tube, as long as the other tube is functional.
Shavi, thanks again. It's been a very informative podcast. Thank you for the insights that you've provided.
Oh yeah, thank you.